Hey, radio listeners, have you tried the Arbonne products yet? Arbonne offers premium quality beauty, health, and wellness products with targeted results. They employ consumer and clinical testing to reinforce their research and ensure their proprietary formulas deliver unparalleled performance. Nicole Marus is a Cleveland representative of these all-natural and non-toxic products who will give you a free consultation on proper maintenance of your particular skin type, along with free samples for you to try. Nothing to lose and a lot to gain. So be sure to give Nicole a call at 440-840-2176. You might also ask her how you can earn some extra money as well. Once again, that's 440-840-2176. And tell Nicole you heard about her on WHKWRadio.com.
Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And you can re-listen later this week on ShofarMinistries.net and take some notes, because every program we do has good insights that you will want to remember for your knowledge enhancement that God expects us to pursue. And to pursue it with diligence so we can achieve total sanctification of spirit, soul, and even the flesh. And how do we reach total sanctification, especially in today's fast-paced word? The answer is, you know, the Word of God. Well, let's open today's lesson with a prayer. We pray to our Father, our Abba Father in heaven. My prayer this morning is this: may God equip us with every good thing we need to do His will, and may He do in us whatever pleases Him. I want to pray about the persecution going out in the world today against Christians, people that confess Jesus Christ as their Savior. May the faces of these people being persecuted unto death in some cases for their testimony of Yeshua, may their faces shine like Stephen's did and convict their persecutors and lead them to repentance. I'd like to bring up Haiti, Lord. May those in Haiti that are hurt by the earthquake, please, may they turn to You in their need, and may You answer them with Your saving grace. I'd like to pray also and bring up all our listeners that send us cards and letters and emails for prayer requests. We hold those up to You, Lord, as an offering this morning, and also a special request for two people that the Reverend Sheila and I know personally, that you would heal these people, especially from their headaches and anxiety issues, and that You would just give them a real touch and just help them in their situation, because You know that they serve You and their heart is for You, Lord. Finally, please open our ears and hearts to the message You have for us from Your word this afternoon by Your Holy Spirit. And we bless You, Father, for Your great goodness and kindness towards us and Your provision You supply to us freely at all times. In the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you. And I want to say hi to Lexi and Autumn Rose out there that are listening, grandkids. Also, a reminder that on the second and fourth Saturdays, that would be tonight, at 6:15, the Shofar Assembly, so I hope that you can join us. It's in Burton, Ohio. Call me for directions, 440-834-9006, or you can call right after the show today at 2. For about 15 minutes, we're usually still here, and we can give you directions then.
Yeah, hang around after the show and call. We'll give you the directions.
Okay. That's tonight.
That's tonight at 6:13, and we did change it from 6:15 to 6:13. But what are we going to cover tonight at Shofar Assembly?
Actually, we're going to do some more typology and look at Moses as a type of Christ.
Mm.
Not just the normal things that we all know about, but some more little deeper things.
That sounds very
quite
good.
Amazing. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, John, when we talked about how the labor was a picture of the washing in the water of the word before you could get into the next place to pray? And then we showed our people how Jesus also washed the disciples' feet in water, and he said, if you do not wash in the water, you cannot have part of me.
Yes.
And we showed how that was a picture of the labor also.
Right.
And
because,
the word of God.
Because Aaron's sons were supposed to wash both their hands and their feet.
That's right.
Yes.
And just recently I noticed, too, that Moses actually did the same thing. He washed Aaron and his son's feet
mm-hmm.
in the water.
Yes, he
and
did.
So
that was the first time. See, that was when he was consecrating them, I think is the word used in the Bible.
Yeah, so you really,
for their duties.
Really,
yeah.
If you're going to be used by God, you've got to be in the word of God. No ands, ifs, or buts.
That's right. And Mary and I were talking about the same thing last night. And I said, you know, when you come, you know, you come to God and then you go to the New Testament first and you're reading something like that about Jesus washed the disciples' feet, you think, well, that's humbling and everything.
Yeah.
It's mighty peculiar. But then knowing the Hebrew roots and knowing the typology, and when you read those stories in the Old Testament and you go, oh, my gosh, you know. It makes complete sense now.
I know, it really does. There's so much more meaning to surface stuff that we read.
Exactly.
You know. So also, I'd like to tell the people that we like to travel, don't we, John?
Oh, yes.
And since we cover such a big area on the radio, we would actually like to come and visit you at your home church for an evening of study and worship. So tell your pastor and ask him to give us a call, 440-834-9006.
Okay, and a reminder of our calendar page, shofarministries.net, where all our events are posted, or biblical questions can be emailed, or you can actually call Sheila as well and leave a detailed message. Now, we will be opening up the phone lines later in the hour with questions or comments about today's program or any end time question you might have. And Sheila, do we have any news before we get started?
Oh, yes, we do. Wow, what a great victory for conservatives. With the Massachusetts win of Scott Brown.
Scott Brown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Little home buddy with his truck and everything. But I think what's really exciting about that is things are really looking up for the November midterm elections. There is a web page that I've been telling you about, goparty.com, G3O'sInAnH.com. And that will tell you how this man, Tim Cox, has a very specific, precise system to replace the members of the House of Representatives with good conservative people. So if you want to be a part of that or you just want to watch and see how things go and see what his plan is,
mm-hmm.
I highly recommend it. Just take a look at it and see if there's anything that you want to do.
Well, yes.
Amen. Amen. Also, this thing about Haiti, oh, my goodness, how devastating. But, you know, you didn't hear a lot of talk about all the help that Israel gave. And it's interesting that in Genesis 12:3, God said that the Jewish people would be a blessing to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, Israel was probably one of the first to quickly respond to the emergency in Haiti and other emergency situations all around the world. They've always been there first to help out. Well-trained professionals, they've assisted in the search and rescue operations, as well as provided medical assistance. Israel has sent at least 100 trained doctors, nurses, medics, paramedics, who has set up and operated, and still are, a mobile field hospital, complete with emergency rooms, surgery room, laboratory, and x-ray facilities. They even flew in a complete temporary hospital with their own generators and all medical equipment and supplies, which enabled the team to quickly begin to treat the wounded and save lives, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you don't hear a lot about that, do you?
No, you don't.
No, but...
Well, I did hear Israel being mentioned in one of the in a list of the countries
well,
that were helping Haiti. So,
that's
yeah.
good. They are. They're right there to help people. Gosh. Anyway, after a year in office, our President Barack Obama finally admitted that his administration overestimated its ability to persuade the Israelis and Palestinians to resume meaningful peace talks.
You think?
He had an interview with Time magazine last week where he said that the conflict just is intractable, an issue as he has ever encountered. I don't know. You'd think he would know history a little more when it comes to this situation. You know, it's mm-hmm. always been this way. He says, I think we overestimated our ability to persuade them.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, I think it is absolutely true that what we did this year didn't produce the kind of breakthrough that we wanted. And if we had anticipated some of these political problems on both sides earlier, we might not have raised expectations as high, Obama told Time. I think it's interesting because it hasn't really worked in anybody that he has talked to. It hasn't worked in Iran, you know, Chavez or any of them. So, hello.
Hello. It has... I know other administrations have gone over there.
Oh, yeah, it's been going on since I can remember.
Yes. It's doomed to fail whenever they get to talking about giving away land.
Yeah. And even though they have, you know, the Israelis keep giving away a little bit of land, thinking maybe this time, maybe this time, but it never works. Mm-hmm. It's only going to work when Jesus Christ comes back.
That's right.
Yay and hallelujah.
Yay.
And by the way, one of the signs that Jesus is coming back...
It's
just Jerusalem.
Exactly what's going on.
Okay, Zechariah 12 is really a prophecy that's come true today in my lifetime. It says Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling, and it certainly is.
A cup of trembling. That means it's going to make you scared.
Yes,
yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Somebody said intoxicating, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, the Jordanian ambassador to the United States says that Jerusalem is a ticking time bomb and is worried that an incident on the Temple Mount by Jewish extremists, that just means Jewish people that want to go up there and pray, could unleash emotions of an extreme nature, and the consequences would be very severe.
So, so if you're Jewish and you live in Israel, that's pretty extreme if you want to go up to the temple site.
Yeah.
And pray.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, that is sad.
Yeah.
To be labeled an extremist just because you want to do something that you were called and born to do.
Exactly.
And
well, and of course, Christians are being called that too, and that's a whole other story. I want to give a little history of the Temple Mount for those people that maybe just have just come to the Lord within the last year or so, and they might not know these things. But from 1948 through 67 and the Six-Day War, the Jordanian government had control of the Alaska Mosque. It's up on the Temple Mount.
That's that blue dome you see, or gold dome on the blue building when you look at pictures of the wall?
It's the smaller one.
The smaller one.
Al-Aqsa
Mosque. Okay.
It's the Islamic Mosque on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. In fact, the Jordanians controlled the entire Temple Mount and allowed no Jews to enter the complex from 67 on. Now, the late King Hussein released control of the Temple Mount compound to the Palestinian Authority, who have had custodial responsibility of this holy site for the last 16 years. The Palestinian Islamic Trust controls who can or cannot enter the big compound.
Hmm.
The Temple Mount, or the Al-Aqsa, as the Muslims refer to this site, is the Islamic world's third holiest site to the Jews and the Christians, and it is their holiest site in the universe. You know, there's two, let me just clarify, there's two mosques on the Temple Mount.
Okay.
One is like a blue dome, and that's where they really, really go in and pray and use it almost every day. Then there's the Dome of the Rock.
Okay.
And that's where they believe that the actual place where Ishmael was going to be sacrificed. They refuse to believe that it's Isaac.
Okay.
And they said it was Ishmael. Now, I can't remember from when I was there if they call the Dome of the Rock the El Aqsa Mosque. I'm not sure if that's the other one. Either way, they have permission to say who goes up there and who doesn't, even though Israel still has sovereignty over Jerusalem.
Right.
But they're so afraid of causing a problem or a ruckus that they let the Palestinians tell them what to do. Okay. And I remember I've gone to Israel four times now.
Yeah.
And there was one time I went where the Palestinians just got upset about something, and I don't even know what it was, and said, okay, nobody can go up there. And I wasn't allowed to go up there that visit. So that was a little sad.
Yeah, that is sad.
But what's interesting now is we have the statement by the Jordanian envoy that says the Temple Mount is indeed a ticking time bomb. And as I stated, the statement is a page out of Bible prophecy found in the prophetic book of Zechariah.
Mm-hmm.
He was the ancient Jewish prophet revealed probably 2,500 years ago, before the fact that Jerusalem, and in particular the Temple Mount, would be the center of controversy in the last days. Okay? So the prophetic phrase found in Zechariah 12:2 means that those who control the holy site will be intoxicated with power and will do so until the Messiah returns to build his temple on this holy site. So again, I like to point out these prophecies that are coming true today, because that what puts our Bible out of touch of any other religious
book. Yes,
because
it does.
It's predicted future events way before they happen, and in fact, in a time when they could, people didn't even care about Jerusalem, really.
Right, right.
At that particular time.
So that's what makes that's what makes our Bible so special, because it can predict the future. God declares the beginning or the end from the beginning, he says in his word.
That's right. And that's the litmus test. So when someone says to you, well, why should I study your religion when this religion over here or this one over there is good, blah, 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 that is your ace in the hole.
Yes, it is.
That's when you say, but no other religious book can predict the future except the Bible.
Yes.
And that means it had to be written by God.
Exactly.
And that's it. That's all you have to say. You know, and at least it puts thoughts in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember I said that once. I said it a couple of times, because when you go to Israel, the Muslims like to talk about religion, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
No,
you could
not really.
Very easily discuss it, and I did with some Palestinians, and I told him what I just said now.
Yeah.
And he was a little taken back and said, oh, well, it must say it somewhere. I'll just have to look and find it.
Yeah, well, there you go. You know, that's true. I remember my stepson had a roommate that was Muslim.
Okay.
And they will discuss with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they don't mind.
They do. So there you go. And yet we find it difficult to search out in America Muslims and talk to them, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I don't know why that is.
I don't know why either. I guess if you had one for a roommate, you had to talk to him.
Well,
right?
That's true. That's true. And knowing your son, I'm sure he did.
I know he did. I know they had some very animated conversations.
Yeah. But here's an example of why knowing your Hebraic roots is really important.
Okay.
Well, apparently, this plane, and I didn't write down which airlines it was, and it's probably good that I didn't, but apparently the 17-year-old Jewish person took out his prayer to fill in boxes, put it on his head and in his arm, and proceeded to start praying. Well, apparently nobody knew that those were prayer boxes, okay, that was definitely mandated in the Old Testament for them to do, because it had scripture in these little boxes of worshiping God as the only one. And when they saw him put it on, they thought it was a bomb. And so instead of proceeding on to Kentucky, they had to land in Philadelphia or somewhere around in there. And then they had the bomb sniffing dogs and all this stuff. I mean, it was quite a fiasco.
Wow.
Yeah. All these little tiny boxes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why if people knew
if they would have known their Hebraic roots, they would know what those are
to
fill in boxes, and they would have known. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, I want to remind people that this month, January's newsletter is now up on my webpage. A lot of information on this global religion that's really coming together quite nicely. I do go on and mention a few of the megachurch leaders and some of their quotes that they talk about, really putting down people that believe in the soon return of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't be quiet when I hear these things, because I next to being a teacher, I'm a prophet also, and I hate error. And of course, so I definitely wrote about it in this newsletter, and I hope people will go and read it. And every time I do this, when I name people and I see some of the things that they say and that, which is what I believe God told me to do, there are some that will say, oh, sister, how can you judge a brother in Christ? How can you say things that you do? You're not supposed to judge anybody. And so I want to make perfectly clear that I am not judging whether they're going to heaven or hell. That's what judging means, okay? But the Bible is very clear in Timothy, and we're going to read that, that we are to rebuke and warn others of false teaching. That is our job. And unfortunately, today no one's doing that. So then they're like being very tolerant.
Well, especially you. You are an accredited and licensed minister. And these folks that you're talking about in your newsletter are licensed and accredited ministers. Mm-hmm. And I just recall that Paul got up in the assembly of the apostles, and he rebuked Peter publicly.
Yeah, that's and, right. That was his friend.
And they were friends. And, you know, sometimes, you know, that's what we do. We love each other. Some of the folks I noticed mentioned in your newsletter, what they're doing, we're not judging if they're going to heaven or hell, like you said. But they're doing a lot of good in other areas. But in this area,
right,
where they're being very outspoken, they're just flat out wrong.
Right.
And
I also wanted to say, and John, I appreciate you mentioning that I am licensed in that, and I am. However, I really feel that everyone should be an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you should be an evangelist, and you should warn others when you see error. You don't
right.
have to be a minister
now, I
to
wouldn't,
do that.
Now that I'm not a minister, but if this person were and I were to see him or email him, I would put it as a question, because I'm not, you know, I'm not in his league. But it would be a question, why are you teaching this when this is so and this is so? But anyway.
All right, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Okay, let's see what it says about rebuking here. And so you want 14 and 15, don't you?
And not yet. In fact, let me read it. I'm going to read it here.
Okay.
Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will... And now some Bibles say depart from the faith. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now turn to...
Okay, now that was...
I was reading 1 Timothy, I'm sorry.
That was 1 Timothy. Apologize for that. That was 1 Timothy.
I apologize.
Chapter 4. No,
that's a good one, though.
Yes, yes. Now we're going to go to 2 Timothy.
Yeah, we're going to 2 Timothy.
Chapter 4.
I charge you, brethren, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke... Exhort with all long suffering and teaching. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. I think one of those fables is that all roads lead to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but notice in verse 2, he says to rebuke.
Yes.
We have to. That's what we're supposed to do. And then verse 14 and 15 says, and I think this is interesting, that Paul's talking to Timothy, and he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works.
Hmm.
Interesting, huh?
Yes.
You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. So therefore, Paul was warning Timothy to beware of certain people.
Right.
And that's what I feel we're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That is very good.
Thank you.
So let's make a distinction between judging whether someone's going to heaven or hell, you know, and when they're just flat out wrong.
Right. I don't know that. Yes. I mean, I can't.
We don't
say
know that.
What's going to happen, you know, on the moment before they die. I mean, I'm not judging anybody when that comes. But see, we get our words mixed up between judging and rebuking.
Okay.
People don't understand the difference. So when we come back, we're going to get into our lesson for today.
Okay.
And the lines will be open later.
Okay. Oh, this time just sneaks up on us. So the phone lines are, if you have questions on today's show or any end time question, actually, you can call 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all your gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air. And as our gift to you for helping Shofar to stay on the air, we have a nice handmade cross for your wall or yard with all donations of $25 or more. And you can send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, and that's 44021. That's Box 513, and then zip is 44021. Or give through shofarministries.net and use PayPal. Perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising and, you know, joining with some of the great advertisers we have now that are with us. I'm proud of these people. These are really good businesses. Yes. And you can advertise right here on Christian Radio, and you can reach Sheila for details about that by calling 440-834-9006. Now, once again, the lines are open for your end-time questions. The numbers are 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song by, help me out here,
Rich Mullins, Step by Step, I
step,
think.
Oh, there you go. Stay with us now.
Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kasalek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
The Cuyahoga County Department of Children and Family Services believe that every child needs a family, especially teenagers. Yet there are hundreds that don't have one. Listen as this young lady shares her story.
I'm 23 years old and a college graduate. After I aged out of foster care, I thought, wow, I'm 18, I'm grown, I've been through a lot, and now I can finally make decisions for myself. What I didn't know is that I would no longer have anyone to depend on. I then went to college and lived on my own. However, shortly after, I then became homeless. If I'd known that I would have been homeless my first year of college, sleeping in my car with nowhere to go during holiday breaks, I would have been more acceptable of adoption.
Please contact the Cuyahoga County Department of Children and Family Services for more information on becoming a foster or an adoptive parent at 216-881-5775. That number again is 216-881-5775. What every child needs, family.
How many of you listening right now want to lose weight? Then discover Trimulene. It's chewable, so it absorbs faster. Just take it 30 minutes before every meal. It cuts your appetite and curbs your cravings, so you eat less and cheat less. You can try a 30-day supply risk-free for only $19.95. Call 1-800-220-1606 or go to eatlesscheatless.com. Call now risk-free. 1-800-220-1606. That's 1-800-220-1606 or go to eatlesscheatless.com.
AM 1220 The Word with your word for the week.
If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 and 8.
Northern Ohio's Christian Talk Station, AM 1220 The Word.
So, it's the new year. Need a makeover? Could you use a new do? Or gal than you guys? Is that hair getting a little thin? Well, you need to see Michael at Hot Heads Cool Threads Beauty Salon, located in Orange Village at Brainerd and Miles Road. Tell me, everyone doesn't at least need a haircut at some time? Hotheads and Cool Threads are a full-service salon specializing in hair replacement with an added touch of unique threads. So give them a call at 440-248-1888. That's 248-1888. And tell Michael Sheila says shalom.
And welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was Rich Mullins singing Step by Step. You probably haven't heard that one in a while, and it was good. Speaking of taking those little steps, Sheila's going to tell us about Alexandria's.
Yes, I want to thank our newest sponsor to the Shofar Ministries Hour, the Alexandria's Training School for Child Care, especially if you're looking for another career, a different profession, perhaps one more rewarding. Maybe the Lord's leading you into a new field, in a happy environment with people who really appreciate and are thankful for what you do. Well, if you are pleasant and like children and newborns, Alexandria's Training School is looking for godly people of all ages to be certified in this in-demand child care industry. Call Carolyn at 440-781-7531, or if you need nanny care for your precious little ones, the number's the same, 440-781-7531.
Great, and guess what time it is? It is time to get down to our study right now on the Shofar Ministries Hour. Now, we talked about sanctification last time, And we looked at the typology of the laver, that big container of water in the temple and in the tabernacle as well. And this is where the washing, and we looked at the washing of the disciples' feet by Jesus. Now, please go and listen to that study if you missed it, because it will help you understand why some Christians struggle so much and even backslide.
That's right. The reason that people backslide is lacking in God's Word.
God's Word.
It's plain
yes,
and simple.
It's very simple,
it's
yes.
A direct correlation. And I've already read 1 Timothy 4:1 before the break, and I meant to read it, but not then. But I wanted to point out that the one thing that it says in 1 Timothy 4:1 is that some will depart from the faith. Now, I did an exegesis on that, and I looked up the word depart, and that word kind of doesn't really mean depart from Christianity. What it means is, the word is epistemi, and it means to draw back.
Okay, so it's not, my Bible says apostatize, so it's not even that word.
No.
No.
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's epistemi, and it means to
draw back
from the faith. Now, John, where do we get our faith?
From the word?
You betcha.
What
Paul's really saying here to Timothy is that in the latter days, people will draw back from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, oh, my heart is just breaking because I'm such a word person. But I see so many people, they're just not spending time with God in His Word. So they're not getting washed.
They are not getting washed.
No. They're probably making it into heaven by the skin of their teeth, because if you're saved, you're saved.
You're saved, right.
But, oh, my gosh, God could use you. He can have you have a good ministry. You're more powerful if you have the Word.
Yes.
It's easier to witness.
And you understand God better, and that makes your relationship, which we've spoken before, and because of Hebrew roots, we liken this relationship to the bride and bridegroom. And this, if this is your betrothed, you want to know this person. You know, the more you get to know them, the more complete your love is.
I mean, don't you want to get up to heaven and say, hey, God, I read your book?
Yes.
If you meet any author, you say you read the book first, right?
Right. And the opposite side of the coin of that one is, wouldn't you hate to get to heaven and run into someone like Jeremiah or Moses and not know who they are?
That's right. Hey, have you heard the story about the big rocks, John?
No.
Well, there was this professor trying to give a lesson on time, how to spend your time. And he brought out this big jar, and he put these big rocks inside the jar. And he asked the class, is the jar full? And they said,
well, they said, sure, the jar's full.
Full
of rocks.
No, it's not. Then he pulled a bag out of his drawer filled with pebbles. And he took these pebbles and he poured them in the jar over the rocks till it was to the top. And he said, now is it full?
Well, yes, because the pebbles filled in those little spaces there. Yes.
No, it's not full. So then he took out a pitcher of water. No, first it was sand. I just blew it. He took sand and he filled the jar up with sand. And again, the same question. Well, by this time, they realized that, you know, it's not full, because then he put the water in. So first he had the rocks, then he had the pebbles, then he had the sand, and it still wasn't full until he put the water in. So what is the moral to this story?
Well, I guess it is, no matter how much you do, you can always do a little more.
No, John.
That
is not the moral of the story.
I failed another test.
The moral of the story is that whatever are your big rocks, you put them in first, or you'll never get them in at all.
You'll never get the rest of it in.
That's right. So what kind of rocks do you think? What are the big rocks in most people's lives?
Well, if you're a Christian, your big rock is your time in the Word.
You betcha it is.
Yes.
You know, so let's get that in first, you know? And I'm a tither, so I believe in tithing our time in God's Word. That is just a good way to know that you're going to be sanctified.
And how do you figure your tithe out in time? 24 hours and 10% of that moves
the
decimal. It's 2.4 hours. Why not make it 2.5 hours?
That's right. A day. That's fine. You know, an hour in the morning, hour at night, half hour at lunchtime.
There you go.
But I prefer to do it all at once. Then I'm not in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I see a lot of gold nuggets, when I know I'm not going to be rushed. And you know what? If I'm busy and I just don't get my 2.5 hours in a day, in one day, I'll do 5 the next.
Just remember, if you have a hard time doing 15 minutes in the Word a day, if you work towards the goal of a couple of 2 hours and even 2.5 hours, you'll notice a difference in your walk.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I can't even. And then after about 3 weeks, you won't be able to wait until you can get in the Word. That desire comes.
Yes, it does.
Ugh. So wonderful. So anyway, okay, let's talk a little bit about, well, there's different words. Some people call them emblems, some call them symbols, some call them banners, some call them ensigns, but they were these four pictures that were around the tabernacle in the wilderness there. And I think a couple weeks ago we probably talked about the camp and how important it was that around the tabernacle all the tribes were camped.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And God in Numbers 2 was very detailed as to
Watch. That's the what
which.
And which. Just coined
which
a new word.
Which tribes would camp where because
well, sure.
some would have more members.
Right.
That's the word I want.
Well, some tribes were a lot better, bigger, were yeah. far more populated than the other tribes.
Yes, and we talked about mm-hmm. how God was so exact that it actually from heaven would look like a cross when he looked down on it.
Yes.
But today I want to talk about right around the tabernacle, which would have been square, okay, each side had a particular emblem,
mm-hmm.
okay? And when Ezekiel had a vision of the throne room of God, let's just turn to Ezekiel 1 real quick. If you've got your Bibles out there in Radio Land, turn with me so that you can see this.
And this is a very famous passage from Ezekiel.
That's right.
It's one that gets talked about. I think books have been written about this one passage.
Too bad I didn't have it ready. Here
well,
we go.
I've got Ezekiel 48, but that's the last chapter.
No,
we want the first
one. Yeah. There it is.
So what's our excuse? Okay, we left the laptops at home.
Okay, part of this vision, and I pray you'll read the whole chapter. But it goes on and talks about in verse 9 about the wings. The wings touch one another, and these creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward, and there was four of them. And then he explains what they look like. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each had of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and each of the four had the face of an eagle. Now turn to Revelation 4.
Mm-hmm. I remember these were the four creatures that were supporting the throne, the famous Ezekiel's vision of the throne of God, and this was on each corner of the throne.
That's right, and John had also a vision,
mm-hmm.
and he sees the same thing, and I just want to point that out in Revelation 4,
mm-hmm.
when he's called up to the throne room. He saw the same thing in verse 7. And the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf or an ox. The third living creature had the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle.
Okay, so here we are, the same faces. And that's interesting.
It is very interesting.
Yes. And that's another, I just want to throw this in here.
Ahead.
But I look at the book of Revelation, and you should too, as a continuation of the prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel, and I see the book of Revelation just as important, and I see the Apostle John as being chosen as a prophet like Ezekiel.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And what's even more fun is to know the fact that John wrote his gospel after he had the revelation on Patmos.
Oh.
Yeah, he wrote it after.
Oh, that's a zinger. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Or maybe I did and I forgot it.
Well, here's the question I have for you, John.
Okay.
When they saw the vision of the Lord on the throne, and these four creatures were always around with these faces, does God live inside of us right now?
Well, of course. He said he does.
Okay.
By his spirit.
Then where are our emblems?
I'm looking. I don't see them. I don't know. You got me.
Well, here's what I think.
Okay.
When I'm looking at the four Gospels in the Bible, I can see those four emblems magnified by each of the four writers of the Gospels. And I want to explain how I see that.
Okay.
Okay? All right. First of all, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, correct?
Right.
Okay. Now, Matthew wanted to appeal to the Jewish people. You know, they had three major cultures going on at the same time. They had the Jewish culture, the Greek culture, and the Romans.
Romans.
Right.
Yes.
So each one, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, wanted to appeal to a particular culture. And you can, with knowing that, you, when you read it, you can see it. But Matthew spoke of Jesus' kingliness, his regalness, okay? And so therefore, he takes the genealogy from the royal line, from the tribe of Judah, and he's appealing and speaks mainly to the Jews. He even ends his book with the resurrection, which was an important topic to the Hebrews. Now, his first miracle was cleansing the lepers, and that is also a Jewish thing because it represented sin, and cleansing of sin was important. So we see Matthew then actually having the emblem of the lion, which is one of the emblems around Jesus's, God's throne.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. So let's look at Mark.
Okay.
Mark, now you see him gearing towards the Romans. Okay. He speaks of Jesus' servanthood as a slave, as a servant. Okay. And in fact, he never even uses a genealogy because Romans didn't care about a servant's genealogy at all. So he never even talks about it. And of course, the ox, we know, is the servant of all animals.
And so, animal.
For one of the emblems to be the ox, I think it's a picture again of Jesus being that servant. And Mark actually ends his gospel with the ascension, which is very powerful, and the Romans like power too. Okay, and his first miracle was expelling demons. Again, powerful.
Okay.
Then we go to Luke. Now, Luke was a doctor. And we see in his gospel that he speaks a lot of Jesus' humanity. So there we have that emblem of the man. Now, he appeals to the Greeks, so he dresses them. And Luke ends with the promise of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he sets up his next book,
which is the Book of Acts.
Right. And, of course, we know the Holy Spirit came there. And his, like Mark, he also, did a lot of expelling of demons. Okay. And again, very powerful too, like the Greeks liked.
Okay.
Humanity. Okay. So we have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they're kind of in a group all their own. They wrote their gospels before the temple was destroyed. Okay. So firsthand experience, you know, closer in time. But now we look at John. And again, John wrote after he saw the vision of Jesus, and that had to be a wonderful reunion because, of course, John was very close to Jesus. He was called his beloved, okay? But John speaks in his gospel of Jesus' divinity more than anything else, okay? Starts out with, you know, saying that he always was, you know, and that he was the Word and he was with God and all that. And divinity, you get the picture of an eagle as being all-seeing, okay, because the eagle can see everything. It's got all these eyes around its head and stuff like that, right, John?
Well, actually, it has such a good vantage point because it's able to fly higher than most all the other
birds.
Yeah, and
their eyes move, though, so they're all directions, right?
Yes, and they have keen vision.
Right, that's right.
Very keen vision, yes.
So John speaks of his divinity, and there we see, then, of course, the eagle. But John addresses the bride of Christ. And we know that, of course, because it's the first book that we tell new Christians to read and study. Okay? It's interesting that John ends his gospel with the hope of his return. Amen?
Amen.
And he never mentions cleansing of lepers, which is a picture of sin.
Yeah.
He never mentions demons, casting out demons. And he never mentions the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation period. Now, why do you think that is, John?
You know what? I don't know. But I think John is trying to give us a picture of something here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
With Jesus, our sins are taken to the cross. So he doesn't talk about the cleansing of sin with the lepers as a picture or typology.
Right.
He doesn't talk about demons because we are supposed to have power over the demons. Right? Through Jesus Christ. And, of course, he never talks about the tribulation because we're not going to be here for it.
There you go.
Now, that's a biggie.
That's a biggie.
You betcha.
Yeah, because you've always said, and I agree with this, that a lot of times what is not said in Scripture is just as important as what is said.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I bet you know this one, John. What was the very first miracle that John records about Jesus doing?
I think it was the wedding at Cana.
You betcha.
Yes.
And, of course, that's the water into wine.
Turning water into
and
wine.
And are we the new wine?
Yes.
You betcha we are.
Mm-hmm.
Happy all the time, effervescent. And you know what? If you really know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you should be happy. You should have the joy of the Lord. Because no matter what you're going through, what problem, and I'll tell you what, we have some heart-wrenching things that sometimes we have to go
yeah.
through. Sickness, disease, death. But you know what? Nobody can take away the joy that you have from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can only give it away yourself.
That's true.
You know? And unfortunately, I've seen some Christians that are kind of downtrodden, and I think, oh, stop. These are just the cares of this life. Stand up and praise God and thank Him.
The cares of this life, that is so important that you said that, because being believers in the tribulation that the Bible very definitely predicts, both Old and New Testaments, and in the rapture, which both Old and New Testament predict, as we have talked
yes,
on this.
Yes, we've talked about that. In fact, there's a big list on the webpage if they want to go
on, yeah, for
look
scriptures,
at it.
For rapture scriptures from the Old Testament. But it's not, how can I put this? If you want to be, go ahead and call us if you want, a tribulationist or what do you call, rapturist or whatever you want to call it. And it's not a cop-out because if you live like you're going to, if you live like there's another lifetime, that means you're going to be more willing to forgive here. And mm-hmm. you're going to have more grace to get through the tough situations because we know we have another life coming.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
hallelujah.
That's 1,000 years with the Messiah ruling and reigning on the earth. So, hey, you know, things go a little bad in your life here. This is only 90 years. We're looking at eternity with God. I can forgive people because I know this, that, you know what, and I can forgive myself. I can know this. I can really know this. And I just think it's important to bring
that
up.
No, it is.
Up.
It yes. is. And I thank you so much, John. Oh, my goodness. We have to leave, but we will be here next
week.
Right
when we're getting into
stuff.
It. Well, well, listen, if you have a question.
Well, you know, if we had a lot more sponsors, we could stay on for 2 hours.
Ooh, that'd be great, wouldn't it? There
yes,
we go. Well, if you have questions for Sheila or if you would like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at Sheila, spelled S-H-E-I-L-A, at shofarministries.net. Any donations are all extremely important and needed to this vital Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. All donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter list, and it's full of gold nuggets and current events from the last days here and in Israel. And why not check out the webpage? There's newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there thanks to Lou Buckles. And for great study for beginners on DVD, Hebraic Roots 101 Parts 1 and 2 and Spring Face Feasts are now available on those now. We'd like to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav alecha.
Thanks for spending time with
Sheila
Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.